Well, today we're going to take a short break from our Ephesians series. We're going to talk about baptism today. We're going to start with a story that we kind of talked about a little bit last week in Acts chapter 9. So if you can turn there, if you got your Bibles today, if you can turn to Acts chapter 9 today for the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 9. And just like how movie makers, they give you a storyline, but then they like to do these little spin-offs. And we're going to do a little spin-off today of our Ephesians series. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about Saul's conversion, or Saul's coming to know the Lord. And so like last week, I mentioned that Ananias was told by God to go and lay hands on Saul to regain his sight. And Ananias was reluctant to listen until after God spoke to him a couple things. And one of the things he said was, "This man, Saul, is my chosen instrument to reach the Gentiles and also their kings and all of Israel. And that he's going to suffer for me," is what God said. To live that out. Amen? And so we're going to read that whole thing today. If you're ready, let's see. Acts chapter 9, if you're there, say, "I'm there." If you're ready, say, "Let's go." All right, Acts 9, verse 10. "In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. 'Ananias!' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered." That, by the way, is the right response. When God calls you, you say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Verse 11. "The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered." Can you just hear it? "'Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name.'" You just hear it? Right? Can't tell me that God didn't know that that was what was going to happen. Right? I'm so thankful for God's patience with us. So thankful. Yes. He's like, "Ananias, don't you know that I know this?" "But the Lord said to Ananias," in verse 15, "'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house of Saul and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul,'" I love that, "'Brother Saul, you who I saw as my enemy, I now call you my brother. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." After taking some food, he regained his strength. The title of the message today is "Get Up and Be Baptized." Get up and be baptized. So what we have here is a conversation between Ananias and the Lord following Jesus' appearing to Saul on the road to Damascus. That happened in the first nine verses of Acts chapter 9. But at the end of that story, once Saul regained his sight, verse 18 says that he, Paul, got up and was baptized. So we see that baptism follows conversion rather than it being a thing that infants are supposed to do, or rather their parents. Now, if you haven't closed your Bible yet, let's go now to Acts chapter 22. We're going to turn a few chapters ahead to Acts chapter 22. You know, one of the things that I love about the Bible, one of the things I love, there's probably a lot of things we could talk about today. We could probably fill the whole service talking about all the things we love about the Bible. You know, but one of the things that I love about the Bible is how it's all interconnected. It all tells one story. And even with the four Gospels, we have four different renditions or perspectives on what happened with the life of Jesus. And they all tell the same story. And they all fit together. And so that we can know that with those four, we can get a more complete story of what happened when Jesus walked this earth. So I'm thankful that they had four versions, you know? And so in a similar way, what Luke wrote in Acts 22 tells us more of the story that we just read in Acts 9. Now, in Acts 22, this is Paul's version of what happened when Ananias came to see him. And this is when he's standing before this crowd of Jewish people that all want to kill him, okay? And he's addressing the crowd. And he says in Acts 22, verse 12, Paul says, "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witnesses to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name.'" Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So we get a little bit more of the story here of what happened between Ananias and Saul. But we also see that baptism is a part of a believer's first steps in knowing the Lord. Not only just then, but sometimes when we walk away and we come back, there's a time when we get to rededicate our lives to him. And what's the purpose? What's the purpose of baptism? Ananias tells us in verse 16, to wash your sins away while calling on his name. This is why we don't do infant baptisms. Because an infant doesn't yet know the difference between right and wrong. If we were to go ask little Elias, "Hey, Elias, is it okay to lie? Is that okay?" Elias would probably say, "Wah," or "Mama, Dada," something like that, right? He's not able to decipher. He's not able to discern the difference between right and wrong, what is sin and what isn't. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, we see John the Baptist saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." And people, in verse 6, start to come to him, and they begin to confess their sins, and he baptizes them right after that. In order for one to confess sins, this is the point, you need to know what sin is, right? How can you confess something that you know nothing about? So we dedicate infants to the Lord, but when they are old enough to make their own decisions and they decide to follow Jesus, turning away from their sins and to him, then we are water baptized. And sometimes this happens once. For others of us, we are baptized more than once, over a span of time, typically for two reasons. Number one, when we come to a greater understanding of what Jesus did for us on the cross and what baptism symbolizes, like what Crystal shared today. Or as an act of rededication, We've walked away and we've come back to the Lord and we're choosing now from this point forward that we're going to live for him. At our church in Omaha, I watched an 80-year-old man get water baptized. I was like, wow. This guy, I had seen him a few months before, where we typically sat at, you know, because you have all your pews reserved, right, in the old days. You had your pew spot that you sat at each week. No, that wasn't true, but anyway, for us anyway. But I could see him sitting over here to the left, and I could watch him. Even as we were worshiping, I was watching him raise his hands, and I'm like, wow, it's so good that someone who is 80-plus years old is able to still worship the Lord. Is that not right, Grandma Pearl? Amen. Amen. Yes. And to see him getting water baptized, God showed me there is no age beyond with which we can get baptized, water baptized. It's a little bit more difficult maybe for an 80-year-old than a 10-year-old, but it can still happen. And it's all about obedience and humility. Now, does the water itself that you get baptized in actually wash away sin? Wouldn't it be so nice if you'd just be like, oh, that's a sin. Oh, that's a sin. Get rid of that. Just there we go. All done with that. No. It's just lake water. There's fish in it. There's snails in it. There's boats and other people swimming in the lake, okay? It's just lake water. But Jesus is the one who washes away our sins at salvation while we call on his name. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And after that, he continues his faithfulness to us and forgives us time and time, and I'm sorry, yes, time, again and again and again, every time we humbly come to him and confess our sins. And as 1 John 1:9 continues on, not only is he faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us, to wash us of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. So water baptism is a physical symbol of a spiritual change of heart, the washing away of sins. It's a public symbol. How many know that you can get saved all by yourself? You don't need anybody else there to get saved, to make the decision to follow Jesus. Patrick did that when he made that decision. He was by himself. Okay? But when we get baptized, that's a public symbol of that change of heart that has happened by the decision that we made to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's something that we cannot do when we're infants. So we may say, well, what's the big deal then? What's the big deal? If it doesn't physically wash away sins, is it really necessary to be water baptized? Is that really necessary? I can confess my sins, like just like what you just read there, Pastor. I can confess my sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Why is water baptism so important if it's just a symbol? And we wash regularly, right? In the words of the Gogans and the old Pete's Dragon, I done had my bath last month. Or what's that one from Chronicles of Narnia? The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. You're worse than Beaver on bath day. Worst day of the year. Right? I shower regularly. I wash myself. What's the big deal with getting baptized? I'm glad you asked. Water baptism is a symbol of Jesus' dying, going into the grave, and then raising again to new life. It was a sign that was even prophesied through the bad decisions of the prophet Jonah. The prophet Jonah, God told him to go to Nineveh. And he said no, and he ran the other direction. And what happened? Got swallowed by a fish. Got swallowed by a fish. God can truly take all things and use them for good. Amen? Jesus later referred to this in Matthew 12, verse 39, when he's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He says, a wicked and an adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Praise God for the richness of his word and the story that he tells us. And I think about that, and I think about, man, okay, so this not only was this a story of repentance, a picture of repentance for Jonah, but you think about God's calling on his life was to go and to tell the Ninevites about who he was. And God was going to come and destroy their nation if they didn't repent. Jonah goes the other direction. God has him swallowed by a fish. But in God's mercy and in his patience and forbearance and long-suffering and all of those things that he has to do when he looks at each one of us, right, he has Jonah spit back out 3 days later, after Jonah repents in the whale. And what happens then? God says, go to Nineveh. Guess what? Jonah's sin did not disqualify him for the calling that God had on his life. Amen? Amen. Amen. God's calling, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Okay? You cannot mess up enough and not still be able to follow the Lord and his calling on your life. Okay? Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Such a good thing. So anyway, we get a picture of Jonah's story of repentance here, but also a picture that symbolizes our Savior's death and resurrection. And God gets a twofer out of that. I think he planned it. All right, so why be baptized? Why be baptized? Number one, it is a command from Jesus Christ. The Great Commission says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is a command from Jesus. It is his great commission. Not just to baptize people. Jacob, like in the greatest story ever told with Charlton Heston, and all the soldiers are coming to arrest him as John the Baptist, and he's just pushing them in the water saying, repent, repent. They weren't repenting. They were coming to arrest him. You know, we're not just to baptize people. Baptizo in the Greek means to immerse completely. But we are to make disciples. We are to make disciples, and those disciples are who we are supposed to baptize. That is a command from the Lord. And we see this modeled over and over again in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, before his first message on the day of Pentecost, he says, when the brothers say, what should we do? He says, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. He's talking to the Jews. A few chapters later, after the persecution breaks out in Jerusalem, because the believers weren't leaving Jerusalem, and Jesus said they're supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They weren't leaving Jerusalem, and so God used persecution to spread them out so that they would go to Judea and Samaria. And so Philip, the evangelist, in Acts 8, goes to the Samaritans, and he tells them the good news about Jesus Christ. And guess what? They believed. They believed, and right after that, they were baptized. And then we see the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip is running up next to the chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading out of the words of the scripture of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip just happens to arrive at the right time because the Holy Spirit took him there. And he said, hey, can you help me understand what this says? And he takes that right from there and begins to talk about Jesus Christ. Philip has received the fuller revelation of what the Old Testament was about, and he shares that with him. And the next thing we see is this Ethiopian eunuch saying, well, there's some water over there. Why can't I be baptized right now? Okay, so we see that continue to be modeled. Acts 9, Saul, Ananias told him to get up and get baptized. Get up and get baptized. Peter in Acts chapter 10, he went to Cornelius' house. He was a Roman centurion. And when Peter began to share the gospel message with them, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they said, God just confirmed what happened to us on the day of Pentecost is also available to Gentiles. He said, what can stand in the way of their getting baptized, Peter said. And he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. My question is to those who say, what's the big deal? Is what gives us the idea that we can pick and choose what commands that we see in the Bible that we're going to follow and we're not going to follow? Right? We already have this happening with some churches today. Churches that say that certain sins are okay. Like you look at the Bible and you say, this is a sin. And they say it's okay. How is that even preaching what the gospel says? We already see that happening. If we're willing to say, well, I'll take this command and not that command, who's to say that we're not going to continue to say, I'm not going to take that one anymore, and I'm not going to take that one anymore, and I'm not going to take that one anymore? No. We follow what the Word of God says, and we live that out. Number two, not only did Jesus command us to do this, but he himself was baptized. He himself was baptized. Not for repentance in any way. He is sinless. But to set an example of humility that we are to follow. He is gentle, and he is humble. And that we find rest for our souls in him. Amen? Sometimes I wonder if the reason why we don't follow all the commandments is maybe because we got a little pride in our hearts. I don't love confessing sins, but the Bible says that I'm supposed to confess my sins. I don't love being vulnerable all the time. I don't love that. When someone else does it, then I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, I don't love that. I don't love the fact that I yelled at my daughter yesterday. She yelled at me first, but I didn't have to yell back at her. The golden rule says that we're supposed to do unto others what we want to have done to us, not what's been done to us, right? I don't like to have to confess that stuff. I don't like to have to go to someone and say, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. Will you forgive me? I don't like to do that kind of stuff. But it causes humility to rise up in me when I do. And what does the Bible say? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So Jesus set us an example of humility to follow in baptism. Just like God the Father didn't need a day of rest when he created the world. Pearl, did he need a day of rest, you think? No. No, he had 6 days to create. On the seventh day, he rested. He's God. I mean, he doesn't even need to sleep. Okay? He's God. He didn't need a day of rest, but he made that day of rest for us. Jesus later gave us the fuller version of that, the fuller revelation, when he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus shows us how to live. And Paul puts it this way when he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He's following the example of Christ. So we follow his example in how we live, Jesus's, and as believers, we get baptized. Number three, baptism is a symbol of new life in Christ. It's a symbol of new life in Christ. Like the sign given from the prophet Jonah, again in Matthew 12. Jesus going down into the grave and rising again. And praise the Lord, we don't have to stay underneath the water for 3 days and three nights. You know, it's just a quick dip, right? But when we go completely under the water, we leave the old stuff of our life, our old self, under that water. And we come out new. The old self is dead. The new self comes out. The old self can swim with the fishes, okay? And the snails and the lake weed and all the other things that are down there. The new comes out. And by the way, while baptism is a symbol, many say that they were touched by the Lord while they were under the water. You get a picture of this if you've seen the movie The Jesus Revolution. When they put Greg Laurie, the actor that plays Greg Laurie, underneath the water, there's a time gap there where he's underneath the water and you see him come awake, come alive. Many people say that they experience that when they're under the water. We as believers should all desire to live the new creation life, to say bye-bye to the old, and the new has come, and being baptized is a way of doing that. So what should you do? You should get up and get baptized. Yes, if you haven't already. Or if you've walked away and rededicated your life and you want a fresh start, why not now? And here's another truth. Baptism is more about the decision that we've made for Jesus than it is about our having our whole lives straightened out. Okay? We don't, okay, now I'm perfect, now I'm sinless, now I can go get baptized. No. No, it's about the decision that we made to follow Jesus or rededicate our lives to him, or we've received revelation and we want to walk in that revelation and we want to get a fresh start. Doesn't mean that we've arrived, but rather with God's help, we are choosing to identify with him publicly and live for him going forward. When I was baptized at age 23, which was 22 years ago, right? 22 years ago. When I was baptized at 23, I was excited. I had just rededicated my life to the Lord. I had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was ready. Long hair, tattoos, piercing, which we don't talk about. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about piercings. Anyway, I don't have it anymore. But I was ready. I was ready to get baptized. But friends, there was a whole lot more that God had to clean out of my life after that. And Kelly says, amen. There's a whole lot more that had to be cleaned out, a whole lot of refining, a whole lot of sanctifying that had to happen still. And there were times during the time afterwards that I would fall back into a sin that I used to live in. I'd fall into that stuff. But that moment, that baptism, marked a turning point in my life. It marked a turning point in my life where I began to get a true grasp, a true understanding of what it meant to live for the Lord. And I wanted to be obedient, and I wanted that fresh start. I had a desire in my heart, not just to believe what Jesus Christ had done for me on that cross, but to live out my life for him. And that was what the change was in my heart. Not because I had my act together, not because I was sinless. This last Sunday, I ran into a young gal at Pizza Ranch, and we were there at Pizza Ranch. And she used to work at Culver's. And I had told you guys about her before a few months ago. I had gone in. Kelly and I were there on a Friday night for a date night. If you ever want to find us on a Friday night, that's typically where we are. It's at Culver's. It's actually become kind of a bit of a ministry for us. That's where Tasha, that's how we met Tasha. She was the Culver's miracle, right? But anyway, this girl is usually really just enthusiastic and peppy and full of life. And that night that we were there a couple months ago, she was not. She was not so much so that. And I looking at her, just seeing what was going on, I just said, hey, are you doing okay tonight? And she said, well, I have an ear infection in both of my ears, and it's really painful, and it's really making it hard for me to work tonight. And so right there in the middle of her shift, I said, can I just pray for you right now? Can I just pray for you? And she's like, as I told you guys before, nobody's ever done that for me before. Wow. Nobody had ever prayed for her like that before. I laid a hand on her, I prayed for her, and I saw her once since then at Culver's, and it wasn't until we saw her last Sunday at Pizza Ranch. And I said, how are your ears? And she said, you know, it was the craziest thing. It was later that same night that God, my ears were healed. She didn't say God healed her ears, but later that same night, her ears were healed. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But she said this to me. She said, you know, I used to think that I was a Christian. But what happened with that prayer and how God answered that, it really made me question what it is that I believe about Jesus. As we close today, I think it's a good question that we should all ask ourselves. What is it that we believe? How is it that I'm living? God, are you pleased with how I'm living? Does my life reflect that you are first and foremost in my life? Am I living in a way of obedience that pleases you? Search my heart. That's why we pray that. Search my heart. Is there something in here that's not of you? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What is it that we believe about the Lord? Am I being obedient? And like we're talking about today, baptism, what am I waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Or if you've reached a turning point in your life where you're ready to go all in for Jesus, today's the day. Today's the day. How about you get up and be baptized today? There's still time. There's still time. And we'll do lunch before baptism, so you don't have to, you can have time to stop at home or Walmart and get a change of clothes, but my challenge to you today is don't delay. Don't delay. Do what God has laid on your heart to do. Get up and be baptized. Will you all stand with me today as we close? I'm going to pray. Father, what a privilege it is to not only be able to read your word, but to comprehend in some ways what it says to us, that it teaches us truth in our innermost parts, that it calls us out of darkness and into your marvelous light, that it shows us how we are to live. How now shall we live? And so, God, I just pray today, as we get ready to go to the lake, have some food together and some fellowship, and get to celebrate what it is that you're doing here at Friendship Church. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here today that's ready to make that decision today and say, yep, this message was for me, and I needed to hear that, and I'm ready to walk in obedience to the Lord. If there's anybody today, I just pray that you would give them the boldness to take that step and to do that today. But we saw you do that last year. We were having baptism at this lake, and this family came up, and they said that we wanted to be baptized, just spontaneous like that, Lord. But we were there at the time that we needed to be there for them, and you to bring them, I should say, and to be baptized. And we got to share the gospel with them. We got to share who it is that Jesus is. And then they were ready to make that decision to be baptized, and four of them got baptized that day. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thank you, Lord. So God, we just pray today, as we celebrate the good work that you're doing, God, that we would celebrate the death to the old man and the new life for the new man. So Lord, do what you want to in our hearts today. We just thank you, God. Each one of us have been there. We may be there again, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that each one of us have been in this place. And so, God, help us to continue to walk out a life of obedience to you, to follow the commands, which your word says are not burdensome. They're only burdensome against our pride. So, God, help us to follow our command, your commands, that we may walk in the light as he is in the light, that we may have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.